诸位菩萨，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everyone.
我们一开始之前呢，我们来先来恭称三声南无本师释迦牟尼佛，好吗？好，大众起合掌。
Before we begin, please join your palms and recite Namo Shikai Moni Buddha for three times.
Namo 本师释迦牟尼佛。
Namo 本师释迦牟尼佛。南无本师释迦牟尼佛。
好，请放掌哈。
Please rest your palms。
我们今天要介绍这个《高僧传》哦，是百丈怀海大师。
Today, we'll talk about Master Bai Zhang Huai Hai。
大家认识听说过谁是百丈怀海大师吗？不知道请举手。
Please raise your hand if you have heard of this great master.
不知道的，不知道的，不知道。
Please raise your hand if you don't know this Chan master.
Okay. 好。我们在禅宗公案里面有一个野狐禅，有听过野狐禅吗？
So actually, there's a famous koan in Chan history called Wild Fox Koan. Have you ever heard of this koan?
这个野狐禅的主角呢，就是这位百丈怀海大师。好，那什么是野狐禅呢？我们之后会再介绍。那我们今天要讲的是百丈怀海大师在中国的佛教史上跟禅宗史上具有什么样的特殊的贡献，以及他对后世有什么样的影响跟启发。
So actually the main character and this wild fox Kongan is Master Bai Zhang. So we'll talk about this famous Kongan later. But first we will talk about how Master Bai Zhang Huai Hai contribute to Chinese Buddhism, his influence and significance in Chinese Buddhism.
那在一开始之前呢，我们要先稍微说明一下百丈怀海大师他做了哪些事情，为什么对中国佛教跟禅宗史有这么大的贡献跟影响哦。他是中国禅宗寺院丛林组织规程里面跟制作僧众哦日常生活规章的一个创始人，所以他制定了百丈清规。
So first, we will talk about what he did to Chinese Buddhism. Why we say that he contributes so much and had such a great influence in Chinese Chan Buddhism, because particularly he. He's an innovator. He established the Chinese Chan monastic regulations.
Okay. 那我们要在介绍这个百丈禅师之前呢，我们先来从历史的溯源来看哦。那今天的大概会先跟菩萨们介绍一下它的历史的一个缘由哦，是从什么是中国佛教到它的禅宗的一个流变哦，到禅宗的特色，再介绍百丈大师，然后还有一些他的禅师的公案语录，还有他的一些流传到后面的丛林要旨跟你们的结语。我们今天先简单的先把他这个重要的贡献先说明之后呢，跟先大家介绍之后再来，如果还有点时间，我们再讲他的公案跟语录。好，这个是让我们一般对禅师非常感兴趣的一些公案跟语录。为什么禅师会开悟？好，这个部分。
So first, we'll talk about the development of Chinese Buddhism, how it's evolved from the beginning to Chan school, and then what Master Bai Zhang Huai Hai had contributed to establishing the monastic regulations for Chan school. And then if we have time, we'll talk about his famous Kongan, those interesting dialogues between masters and how they got enlightened. And then we'll talk about their famous stories and anecdotes if we have time.
那我们来先讲哦，佛法哦，从印度传到中国，从之间经过了多少年？差不多到现在哦，两千五百多年哦，到现在应该是2600多年了哈、哦。那佛教从印度传到中国，传到各地的时候，经过这么长时间的流变哦，它为了适应各地的需要哈、哦，所以它会哦适应各种不同民族的文化的需求，以至于佛教会有沾上了一些什么不同文化的特质。
So, do you know how many years Buddhism has transmitted from India to China? Yes, it has been almost 2,600 years. So it's such a long time that Buddhism has been introduced in China. So, of course, when original Buddhism transmitted to China, it will very naturally adapt it to its local culture and influenced by the local cultures. So over the time that Chinese Buddhism has its own characteristics.
那佛法流传到各地，一直到今天，它有个基本不变的原则是什么呢？是因缘跟因果两个法则。
But there are two basic principles that will never change, even adapted by different local cultures. That is, the law of cause and conditions and the law of cause and effect.
那从因缘论的观点呢？他说呢，从因缘所生法的观点，使人舍去一切以自我为中心的价值观念，就是到达无我后的一个。修行的境界哈，然后以因果律的观点来看，使人肯定现实生活里面的道德生活的重要性。
So, from the perspectives of the law of cause and conditions, it will let people understand the cause and conditions, how they work, and let go of all attachments, and eventually reach the state of no self.And based on the principle and the law of the cause and effect, followers will lead a moral life because they understand what the cause and effect are.
那从历史的流变来看呢，佛教从印度传来中国，它是经过了中国本土的什么？两个非常重要的文化特质呢，它融合了什么？道家跟儒家的思想，所以佛教为了适应中国儒道两家文化的思想，然后在融摄了佛法的基本精神之后，变成了普遍受到中国人所乐意接受的佛教，我们称为它是中国的佛教。
So when the Indian Buddhism transmitted to China, it very naturally will need to be adapted to Chinese cultures. And in Chinese culture, we all know there were two big influences. One is Taoism and the other is Confucianism. So it's very natural that original Indian Buddhism will combine and influenced by the Taoism and Chinese Confucianism and eventually will form its own characteristics. That's Chinese Buddhism.
那中国的佛教融摄了这些儒家跟道家的思想之后呢，从传到中国一直到中国本土佛教的形成，经过了350年左右的孕育时代，这里面有350年的期间。
So, from Indian Buddhism transmitted to China to eventually the Chinese Buddhism becoming has its own characteristics, the entire process probably takes 350 years.
那在这个过程当中呢，这350年的过程当中，从当代的高僧佛图澄还有鸠摩罗什等这些从西域来的高僧呢，他们的弟子们有 道安、慧远、道生、深造，为佛教开拓了中国化的局面，然后产生了格义佛教。
So, within that 350 years, that process, there were monastics originally from India, like Master Yuan Chen and Kumarajiva, and their disciples made the effort to make the Indian Buddhism localized in China.
那从西元二世纪到第十一世纪的时候呢，经过了千年的时间。这段期间，中国不断地从吸收从印度来的大量进来的佛经做大量的翻译工作。这段时期我们叫做佛经翻译期。
And the second stage of involvement is is from the two central AD to the 11th central AD, where numerous Indian Buddhists, Indian texts, scripture texts, Buddhist texts were being translated into China, and we call this stage as a translation period.
那这段期间呢，佛经汉译到了第八世纪的时候，达到一个圆熟的阶段。
And during this stage, when it reaches its peak in the 8th century.
当时呢，佛教中国化有开始产生了净土宗、天台、华严跟禅宗。
So during that stage, the Buddhism become more Chinese styled, and then there are different schools emerged, including Pure Land School, 天台 School, 华严 School.
在这个时候呢，有一些，即使是这些宗派呢，也是依循着印度佛教所归循的律制生活，就是依着寺院而住，后住在律寺里面，然后依照佛陀制定的戒律如法的奉行。
So even though at that time China already has its own Buddhist schools, they still follow strictly the precepts or sila vinaya transmitted from India.
那直到了百丈怀海大师呢，他的事迹是从720到814后的年代，他开创了禅宗生活规范的丛林清规，自此以后呢，禅僧呢就自成一个教团。
So it was not until 720 central AD and to 814 AD that during that time, during the lifetime of Master Baizhang, he established a set of monastic rules for Chan school that Chan monks is able to establish their own rules and to have their own place to practice.
自从百丈怀海大师的丛林制度建立之后，佛教的中国化才算是圆满跟成熟的。
So, it was until then the Chinese Buddhism has become completed and reached its peak.
那中国佛教特色是什么呢？它在于突破传统。好，那怎么样去突破传统呢？第一，在距离达摩祖师来中国之前的前一百年，那时候有一位鸠摩罗什大师的弟子叫大道生法师。那时候他的主张是顿悟成佛，跟主张众生皆有佛性。但是当时传来的大小圣经律里面并没有说顿悟成佛之说，所以当时被所有的人众生哦，就是所有的高僧们都 应该说僧众们都说这是邪说，而被遭受到驱逐的命运。
So what is particularly the Chinese the characteristics of the Chinese Buddhism? Well, one character is that the innovation of Chinese Buddhism. What's the innovation? Depart from tradition. For example, about 100 years before Bodhidharma came to China, there was a disciple of Master Kumarajiva, that's Master Da Dao Sen. He advocated at the time the sudden way of rich enlightenment and that all sentient beings have Buddha nature. At that time, those ideas are considered very progressive and were not accepted even by monks at that time. And they were actually, those opinions were attacked by monks at that time.
在禅宗初祖达摩祖师来到了中国之后呢，经过了400年，禅宗开始渐渐的有一个传承。到400年之后呢，百丈怀海大师创立了从事农耕生产的生活方式，在那个时候呢，也被当时的人骂为是破戒比丘。
So after Bodhidharma, the first patriarch of Chan school, came to China, and then he transmitted his Dharma to his disciples, and then go on. After 400 years, Master Baizhang Huaihai came to establish this Chan monastic regulations. Even at that time, Master Baizhang Huaihai was still criticized by his peer as being violating precepts, breaking precepts.
由于这两位大师哦，这么勇于突破传统旧观念的例子，恰恰是代表了中国佛教佛教中国化的特色。这时候呢，禅宗的人物更是集结了中国佛教中国化的大成，所以禅宗也就代表了超越性的中国佛教。
So from those two examples, you could see the characteristics of Chinese Buddhism is really is not afraid of innovation. They always trying to break down the traditions and come up the new innovations.
这时候我们可以来讲一下禅宗的初祖达摩东来这个他的阶段哦。那禅宗一开始从达摩初祖来的嘛吼，就是我们说达摩是初祖，那达摩东来的时候呢，他因为跟什么梁武帝怎么讲话不投机，他怎么跟梁武帝怎么问他们呢？他说建庙啊，修路啊，有没有功德，有无功德否？结果我们的达摩初祖说什么？没有功德，这梁武帝容颜不悦，吼，就两个人不投机，所以呢，达摩就到了什么嵩山面壁，继续修行，吼。
So we are all familiar with the story that patriarch of Chan school, Bodhidharma came to China from India, and first he met Emperor Liang at that time, and Emperor Liang asked him, what merits do I have by building temples, supporting monastics, and make offerings? And Bodhidharma answered, no merits. And upon hearing that, Emperor Liang was of course not happy. So Bodhidharma left. He went to a cave and facing the wall for 9 years.
当时呢，我们第一位从印度来中国的一个禅师是谁呢？我们说他的易经师是谁呢？ 是安世高哦，这是我们的第一位译经师。他来那时候，由于后汉汉桓帝来的时候呢，所译出了经是小圣的经典，所以当时在中国流传的一些禅法们都是依照小圣的经典哦，小圣禅法来加以修行的。
So do you know the who's the first scripture translator from India? It is the Master Anshigao. The first set of scriptures, Buddhist scriptures, actually are Vinayanas, or small vehicle classics. So at that time, monks were practicing Buddhism based on those small vehicle texts.
那大圣禅法的盛行，禅经啊，是从谁开始呢？一个佛陀跋陀罗的禅师译出来的《达摩多罗禅经》。由于佛陀跋陀罗译出来这一部《达摩多罗禅经》之后呢，开始中国的文化里面就开始有大圣经典的传入，就禅法的演变开始从小圣到大圣，这时候是大小圣并存的一个时代哦。
So it was not until later, there was another master translated the Mahayana texts into China, and then at that time, the monastics in China will practice the Vinayana and the Mahayana traditions together.
那我们说禅宗的传承呢，有哪些呢？除了第一个要介绍达摩普利达摩著作是略变大圣入道四行跟达摩禅的传承，有东山法门的弘扬跟最后发展成五家，这个部分会简单的说明一下。
So we'll talk very briefly from Bodhidharma, from Bodhidharma to the fifth patriarchs, and then onwards.
菩提达摩的著作是略变大圣入道四行，他讲的是什么？理、二入跟四行吼。第一个是什么？理入。第二个是什么？行入。那他重点在于什么呢？就是百却一切妄想即执吼，大于实证的真性的一体无二之境。然后开始做什么那样修行方法？就是面壁坐观。对嘛，他的修行方法就是面壁，好，一直对着墙壁来修行方法，就训练自己的自心凝住一境哦。
So the main teaching of Bodhidharma, Master Bodhidharma, is in his work on two entrances and four practices. So Bodhidharma's two entrances and four practices are entrance by principle first, and second is entrance by practice. The entrance by principle focus on the directly awakening to one's own self nature, mainly by the method of concentrating on observing the wall, so to put down all thoughts.
在训练自己的自心凝住一境之后呢，不做自他之想，不见凡圣的差别，而进入一种寂然无为的一种状态。这是普利达摩的理入。
So by concentrating entirely on observing the wall, one will not make any differentiation between self and non-self, and enter into a no-active state, and eventually realizing the self nature.
那四行是什么呢？四行呢？行入嘛，有四行是抱怨行、随缘行、无所求行跟称法行。这个四个行呢，是从生活中求体验的四种观想的功夫。那如果菩萨们有兴趣要看这个四行的话呢，可以我们回去再自己看。今天就不介绍这个，详细介绍好。
So what about the four practices? The four practices are the practice of requiting enemies, the practice of courting conditions, the practice of seeking after nothing, and the practice of according with Dharma. Those are four ways that people can experience, try to practice and experience their own lives. Today we're not going to details about it. If you're interested, you can find more information on those practices.
在达摩城的传承当中呢，从初祖达摩传到慧可，再传僧璨，再传道信跟弘忍之间呢，我们在道信跟弘忍这个时期，我们称为它是东山法门的弘扬哦。这时候他因为禅法那时候有分有一些分派，所以呢在这个时候呢有一个弘忍，到五祖弘忍的时候东山法门的弘扬，所以使得达摩禅的传承就很当时就非常的一枝独秀哦。
So after first patriarch Bodhidharma transmitted the Chan method to his disciples Hui Ke, the second patriarch, and then second patriarch transmitted to third patriarch Sun Chen, and the third patriarch Sun Chen transmitted to the fourth patriarch Dao Xing, and the fourth patriarch transmitted to the fifth patriarch Hong Ren. We say from the lineage from fourth patriarch Dao Xing to fifth patriarch Hong Ren. At the time, we call them the school of the East Mountain, because at that time there were different schools in China.
禅宗到了慧能之后呢，有分了五家，其中经过了时代的演变，还有政治的因素，它后来演变为归养、临济、朝洞。云门跟法眼等五家哈。
So after fifth patriarch Hong Ren, he transmitted Bodhidharma's chant to the famous sixth patriarch Hui Neng, Master Hui Neng. And then after Master Hui Neng, Chan school evolved into five sub schools, including Lingji, Guiyang, Cao Dong, Yunmen, and Fa Yan.
好，那禅宗从 唐朝演变到现代，还有两个法脉留下来，就是临济化头跟什么超洞末照哈。那我们要先来看一下它的临济化头的传演哦，从潮汐慧能到南域怀让，马祖道一到百丈怀海到大会中高有看化禅，这是我们临济化头的一个简要的传承。
So the lineage of Chan transmitted from Tang Dynasty until now, it passes down different monastics, different masters, and now it can put into two categories. One is there are still two schools popular in.Nowadays, one is Lingji, the school of Lingji. The other one is Cao Dong, Cao Dong school. So the Lingji, they use the Hua Tong method, and Cao Dong uses the silent illumination method. So from the lineage of Lingji, we can see the passage from different masters, masters all the way up to Master Hui Neng to Ma Zu Dao Yi, then to Master Bai Zhang Huai Hai.
好，那么看一下朝洞末照的基本的一些概要的传承，是从潮汐慧能到清源行师，到石头西迁洞山两界，到天台弘智正觉所提倡的末照禅。
And the lineage of Cao Dong passes through Master Hui Neng to Master Qingyuan Xingsi, and to Master Shitou Xiqian, then to Master Dongshan Liangjian, and all the way to Master Hongzhi Zhenjue.
在慧能之后呢，有两位非常很重要的弟子，第一个是南域怀让跟 清源行师。刚刚我们看那个简单的传承，从这个两大系统里面，从南域怀让到了什么马祖道一，再往下传是百丈怀海，这个这一系是属于什么灵系，我们简单的说是当还有下面还有一些分派。那我们在想从百丈怀海的弟子下面呢，有龟山灵佑到仰山汇集，这成立了龟仰宗。
So we can see from the lineage of Ling Ji, it was started from Master Huinen, and then after Master Huinen, there are two important masters, very influential masters. One is they established the Ling Ji school, which is Nan Yu Huairang. From Nan Yu Huairang followed Ling Ji lineage all the way to Master Ma Zu Dao Yi to Master Bai Zhang Huai Hai. Then after Master Bai Zhang Huai Hai, there were two masters, Yang Shan, Master Yang Shan and Master Gui Shan. Each of them opened a new sub-school.
第二个呢，灵迹是从哪个传承下来呢？从百丈怀海到黄檗西运到灵迹义玄，开出了灵迹宗。
And then another lineage under Master Bai Zhang is Master Bai Zhang's disciple, Master Huang Po, established the Lingji lineage.
然后我们来讲清源行师，这是第三个系统的清源行师，从石头西迁到药山为岩，到洞山两界朝山本籍，开创了朝洞宗。
So Master Huinen's disciple, Qingyuan Xingsi, Master Qingyuan Xingsi, he's the disciples and second line disciple, third line disciples like Shitou Xiqian, Master Shitou Xiqian, Master Dongshan Liangjie. They together established the lineage of Cao Dong.
那接下来是从清源行师从石头西迁到德山宣鉴雪峰义存到云门文衍，开创了云门宗。
So there are actually. Okay, so.Master Qingyuan Xingsi's disciples, fourth patriarch disciples of Master Qingyuan Xingsi established the Yunmen School.
那接着还有一个法眼宗，也是从清源行师这一派下来的，一直流变到雪峰义存，有一个玄沙师辈到清凉文艺，开创了法眼宗。
And the disciples also the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The fifth generation of disciples, Master 清源行师 established the 法眼 school.
好，那我们来看这我们来说看，回到马祖道一跟百丈怀海。你们知道马祖道一是谁吗？
So going back to Master 马祖 and 马祖道一， Do you know who is Master 马祖道一？
马祖道一就是百丈怀海大师的师父。
So Master 马祖道一 is the teacher, the master of Master 百丈怀海。
所以禅宗是非常重视传承的。他的师承非常的重视，所以他的什么他的传承都非常非常的清楚。那我们来讲说，你们有听过走江湖吗？我们现在说走江湖都是像什么江湖术士一般人用的那种江湖术士的用语，可是走江湖这一个词啊，名词是出于哪里呢？出于禅宗出于禅门。为什么呢？ 他在江西跟湖南是在中国禅宗发展史上面非常重要的两个地区哦。马祖道一跟百丈怀海两个 道场都在江西哦。南玉怀让跟石头西迁两位禅师的本道场都在湖南，所以呢禅宗的五家七派哦开花结果都在这个环境中完成，所以我们说禅师们在参方行脚的时候呢，往来于各大禅师的门下，称为走江湖。
So, you can see that Chan School really emphasizes on lineage, emphasizes on who their masters are. They emphasize a lot on the formal transmission from the master to disciples. So, even though Chan School have five sub-schools, just like we described, they all emphasize on lineage. And in the past, in Chinese, there's a phrase called 走江湖, which means, nowadays, it means like someone who has a skill, but they try to make a living for the, out of that skill, they will go around the world to make a living. This person is called 走江湖, but actually this phrase is originally from the Chan text. So that, at that time, Jiang means abbreviation for Jiangxi, the province of Jiangxi, and Hu is an abbreviation for the province of Hunan. Because at that time, most masters, as you can see, are actually preaching Dharma in Jiangxi and Hunan. They're monasteries, main monasteries were established in Jiangxi and Hunan. For example, Master Wu Zu Dao, Ma Zu Dao Yi is in Jiangxi, and Master Nan Yu Huai Ran and Shi Tou Xi Qian were in province Hunan.
那我们来讲说，禅宗有五门、五家七派嘛，吼。这时候那个禅宗演变到后面呢？的临济宗，这时候他的什么？他的教法最优。他到了宋代的时候呢，从临济里面又分出了两个派系，哈，叫做黄龙跟杨岐，所以我们合称为五家七宗，同样都是从六祖慧能的法系里面传承下来的。
So among these five sub-schools on the Chan School, which is headed by Master Huineng, the school Lingji, when it passed down to Song Dynasty, because it has its certain advantages. It actually was practiced by many people and break into further break down to two groups. One is group the school of Huang Long, the other group is Yang Qi.
那分这么多宗派呢？为什么要分这么多宗派？有什么不同？
So why do we have so many sub schools and different schools under Chan School?
那是因为每一个禅师他们的个性不同，特质不同，所以他产生的不同的什么禅风。
Because each Chan master has their own style, their own way of teaching. That's why they have their own characteristics.
那我们来讲禅宗的特色是什么呢？禅宗的特色。
So what is the characteristics of Chan school?
禅宗它深受中华文化的背景是什么？儒家跟道家两个不同的文化的影响吼，那这两个文化呢，在它的地理位置上的不同，所以它也会产生不同的文化风格。
So we just said the Chinese Buddhism features actually affect is influenced by the Chinese culture, which mainly by Taoism and Confucianism.
儒家呢，它的地理位置在于黄河以北的地方，它重视什么？人跟人之间的伦常关系跟社会之间的互动关系。
So And actually, they are influenced by, divided by geography in terms of which one has more influence, either Taoism or Confucianism. So the north of Yangtze River are more influenced, the area north of Yangtze River are more influenced by Confucianism, which emphasizes on relations between people and people and people in society.
那道家呢，它摇篮在哪个地方？在中国的南方。那中国南方气候温和，物产丰饶，山川水秀，孕育了道家哈语强调个人跟自然的合一的色彩哦。
And the Taoism, the cradle of Taoism is in the south of China. So it, where it has a warm climate and prosperity of food, and it emphasizes more on a relationship between people and the nature and the unification of people and nature.
那禅宗呢，要去适应这个中国这两个截然不同的文化特质，它要怎么样去适应它呢？
So, how Chan school can adapt it to the different features of Chinese culture? And how can they do it?
它运用了什么佛教里面的戒律的精神来配合儒家的道德生活？
So how can how will Chan school try to adapt it to the local Chinese culture? For example, the precepts, Chan precepts.Chan school will take the principles of the Buddhism precepts, but will incorporate into the morality advocated by Confucianism.
那以禅定跟智慧呢，来诱导道家的自然主义。
And in terms of relationship with Taoism, Chan school will incorporate.We emphasize on the samadhi and meditation, try to influence the Taoism.
这样子做有什么样的好处呢？第一个呢，戒律使得佛教徒的生活正直清净。那禅定与智慧呢，使得修行者的内心获得宁静自在。这样子，我们在学禅的人就不会因为放任自然而变成逃避现实或玩世不恭的消极分子，也不会拘泥于戒律的细则，成为一种僵化的宗教的工具。
So what's the benefits of doing both or influenced by both? Because Chan school emphasized on the morality, the conduct, the morality aspect of Confucianism, it will help the monastics to keep a pure conduct. And on the other hand, because of the practice of meditation and emphasize on samadhi and influenced by Taoism, it will keep the inner peace, will have the inner peace and serenity, but at the same time will not...try to avoid the worldly obligations.
那在这样子的活泼自在生活之中，仍然能够表现出精勤肃穆的修道的精神呢？
So the benefit is incorporating influence by both Chinese features. The Chan school is lively, is natural, but at the same time still has its own rules.
这时候呢，禅宗的大师们呢，否定一切形式上跟教条上及思想上的偶像的观念呢，强调以平常心为修道者的生活原则，然后大家以平常的平时心去过正常人的正常生活。即使呢，禅师们有超乎寻常的宗教经验跟能力，也绝不轻易的表露哦。
So Chan masters would emphasize on that leading an ordinary life and the ordinary mind is a way, and would abolish the formality that being too excessive. And even though Chan masters may experience some supernatural, have some supernatural experiences, they would not talk about it.
那我们来讲说， 百丈怀海大师创立农禅制度的农耕生活的原因是什么？我们中国的社会哦，绝大多数的人都是过着农业社会的经济制度来生存的，以农耕为生。除了少数仕宦之家跟营商的人之外哦，还有一些就是隐逸式的高人隐士哦，他们虽然躬身于山野之中，但是他们也是有他们自己的谋生方式，绝对不会沦为什么乞丐。所以印度佛教传到中国的时候，这两个文化这么大的不同怎么办呢？第一个，当时我们就舍弃了改变印度那种岩门乞食为生的修行方式。
So, what's the reason for Master Bai Zhang Huaihai innovate or establish this farming style for Chan monastics? That's because at that time, most people in China live on farming other than the business, other than people doing business or going to government. Almost all people have a way of make a living. They would not go on begging.So that's a big difference between Indian culture and Chinese culture. So when Indian Buddhism was transmitted to China, there must be a way to deal with the tradition of the elms, goes elms round, because Chinese don't do the elms round.
那如果要长期依赖政府的供给或私塾的供养，如果遇到了社会经济不景气或是政治因素改变的时候呢，佛教徒哦，就是出家众，他的谋生就变成了有困难，他的生活就变得非常有困难。
And if the monastics always rely on offerings made by either by government or by disciples or by Buddhists, it will become not reliable and become difficult.
在面对如果说仅是依赖政府政策的支持或信师的布施来维持寺院的生活，这样子当我们生活方式受到考验的时候，佛教便会日渐落寞。所以这时候呢，自食其力的三林佛教便应运而生，那就是百丈怀海大师所倡导的丛林制度的农耕生活。他们以垦殖山林农田为主要的生活资源，信徒的布施在于其次哦。
So after Master Bai Zhang Huaihai establishing this farming style Chan monastery regulation, the Chinese monks can rely on themselves, not necessarily rely on the offerings made by lay people or by the government. They can be self-sufficient.
也因为百丈怀海大师创定了百丈丛林制度之后呢，中国应该说中国的佛教佛教在中国尚能延续发展，因为在唐末五代第九世纪有一个法难，那时候呢，百丈怀海禅师的丛林道场毫无损伤哦。
And also there's a, there were religious persecution in Chinese history during 9 centuries. And during that time, Master Bai Zhang Huaihai's monastery was kept intact because of his way of living and his regulation.
我们在介绍百丈怀海大师的清规之前呢，我们要先认识一下百丈禅师的生平，还有他怎么样悟道，还有禅法跟机用，最重要于在对中国佛教的贡献呢，及对后世的影响哦。
So before we introduce Master Bai Zhang Huaihai's monastic regulation, we will first introduce who is Master Bai Zhang Huaihai and his method of enlightenment and his famous Kong'an and dialogues.
百丈怀海大师呢，生于西元720年到卒于 814年哦，是南域怀让的法孙，也就是马祖大一道一的弟子哦。
So Master Baizhang Huaihai was born in the year of 720 AD and died in the year of 814 AD. He was the third lineage. He was third lineage holder of the Master Nan Yue, who his master is Master Ma Zu Dao Yi.
那他在19岁的时候呢，就受了具足戒，就是一个出家人。就是比丘哦，比丘戒哦。
He received a full ordination in 19 years old.
受完具足戒之后，他去庐江府差事阅读，就阅经哦，阅大藏经，阅了几年的大藏经之后。
So after he received full ordination, he went to Wujiang at that time, Fucha Temple to study the Tripitaka.
之后呢，他去跟随着马祖道一20年哦。
Afterwards, he went to study and practice with Master Ma Zu Dao Yi for 20 years.
他担任马祖道一的什么侍者20年之后呢？这20年中间，他每天都想着什么一件事情？你猜什么事？就是想着要开悟。
So, he studied and practiced with Master Ma Zu Dao Yi for 20 years, and during that 20 years, he only had one thing in his mind. Do you know what it is?It is how to get enlightened.
那他怎么样开悟呢？我们之后接下来会讲哦。然后开悟之后呢，他入住了百丈山哦，大雄山百丈山19年，在那边制定了百丈清规。
So how did he get enlightened? We will talk shortly. But after he got enlightened after 20 years studying and practicing with Master Ma Zu Dao Yi, he went to live in the mountain Baizhang for 19 years. And there, at that place, he established the Baizhang monastic regulation.
那百丈禅师呢，在马祖道一的门下齁，就当侍者的时候一心一意想开悟，你们说马祖道一知不知道？当然知道嘛吼，可是呢都为什么都不点拨他呢？因为修行功夫到还没有到家嘛吼，所以有一天呢，马祖道一呢就带着这个侍者百丈怀海呢到了郊外去，然后呢看到一群野鸭子飞过之后呢，那个他的师父马祖道一就问他说那是什么，然后百丈怀海呢就很那时候他有一点很沮丧，就是说就是野鸭子嘛，就回答野鸭子，然后马祖就问他去哪里了，回答百丈回答说飞过去了，然后马祖这时候他做什么，他就回过头来捏什么，捏鼻子，捏得非常非常的痛，然后痛到痛彻心肺哦，都不放哦，不知道捏多久，我不知道，捏非常的久，之后痛到他都忘掉了身心了哦，然后马祖再问他说，又说飞过去了吗？然后这时候呢？百丈怀海大师就因此了什么，他开悟了吼，他明白了是什么，大家愿不愿意试试看？
So when Master Baizhang stayed with Master Ma Zu Dao Yi, he only had one thing in mind, that is how to get enlightened. So do you think his master Master Ma Zu Dao Yi knows about it? Of course he knows. Then why didn't he teach him and teach him how to get enlightened? Because it's not how it works. It's just not the time. It's not the time yet at that time. So how did the master Baizhang Huaihai eventually get enlightened? There was a story. So one day, Master Bai Zhang Huai had accompanied his master, his teacher, Ma Zu Daoyi, on a walk. Then a flock of wild duck flew past them. The master Ma Zu said, what's that? Master Bai Zhang said, wild duck. And the master said, where did they go? And Master Bai Zhang said, they flew away. Then his teacher, Master Ma Zu, then grabbed Master Bai Zhang Huaihai's nose really hard for a long time and twisted. And Master Bai Zhang Huaihai cried it out, ouch, it really hurts. And that pain made him forgot everything. Then the Master Ma Zu asked again, do you still say they flew away? Then at that time, Master Bai Zhang Huaihai had a deep realization.
那百丈怀海大师开悟之后呢，回到他自己的疗房，回到疗房的时候呢，就痛哭一场。那时候要吃饭了嘛，他痛哭，然后他有他的道友啊，就来听到他痛哭，原本要叫他来吃饭的，就说你怎么在哭？他说你是想念父母吗？他说不是。他说被人骂吗？他说不是。那你为什么要哭呢？他叫他去说，我的鼻孔被师父扭了，很痛，痛到痛彻心肺哦。然后他说，那你为什么不吃饭？他说，你去问和尚去，就是你去问师父去，就问马祖道一句。好，那这位他的同事就说，就跑去问这个马祖道一，而说那个海侍者啊，就是百丈怀海侍者呢，他在疗房里面大哭欸，他说请和尚来问和尚就知道了。那和尚说是他的事情啊，你自己去问他哦。然后这个他的道友就回到那个疗房说，和尚说你会，这是你要告诉我你到底为什么要哭。然后百丈怀海就那时候就笑了，然后他的那个道友就说，刚刚哭现在在笑。然后百丈怀海就说，对，刚刚哭现在笑。然后他的那个道友就一副莫名其妙的样子。
So after Master Bai Zhang Huaihai returned to his living place, to his monastery that day, he cried really hard, and he didn't go for meals when it's the time. So his friend, his companion, came to ask him, why do you cry and why don't you go to have meals? And the Master Bai Zhang Huaihai said, well, because my nostril really hurt by my teacher. But then the person asked, why don't you go to eat then? Why are you still crying? And then Master Bai Zhang Huaihai said, well, go ask my master, Ma Zu. So that person went to ask Master Ma Zu, and Master Ma Zu said, well, go back to ask Master Bai Zhang. And then that person returned to Master Bai Zhang's place, and then Master Bai Zhang smiled. So that person commented, well, you were just crying a moment ago, but now you're smiling. But I don't know what you smile about. And then Master Bai Zhang said, yes, exactly. I was crying a moment ago, but now I'm smiling. That person was literally at lost. At lost.
好，那隔天呢，马祖道一的道风是很自由的，很活泼的吼。他们在升堂的时候呢，他们升堂的时候就有一个席子。好，席子要请和尚上座。那百丈怀海是侍者嘛，他会把席子铺好。结果呢，等到马祖要上座的时候，他就把那个席子卷好，卷起来，然后马祖就马上下座了。下座之后呢，马祖回到他的方丈室呢，然后百丈怀海大师就跟着他去，就说马祖问他说，我刚刚还没有，我在法堂上呢还没有讲话，你就把我的席子卷走了。这个百丈怀海就回他说，昨天被和尚捏的鼻子很痛，然后 马祖就回答说，你昨天向什么地方留心啊？然后白丈回来说，鼻子今天不痛了。然后马祖道就说，你知道昨天跟今天的事情吼，他说你知道昨天的事情。然后这个白丈怀大师呢就顶礼马祖道一，就退下去了。他只是要去什么，去跟马祖道一做什么印证他的体验。结果马祖道一有没有给他认可？有吼。
So the next day when Master Ma Zu Daoyi was about to give a Dharma talk, at that time they all sit in a mat. And then Master Bai Zhang Hua Hai rolled up his master's mat before he had a chance to sit on it. So Master Ma Zu Daoyi returned to his abbot court and Master Bai Zhang Hua Hai followed him. So, and then here is a dialogue. Master Bai Zhang Hua Hai said,Master Ma Zu Daoyi asked, why do you roll up my mat before I even sit on it? And Master Bai Zhang Hua Hai said, my nostril was really painful. Yeah, was still hurting. Sorry.
法师，我看一下他的 text.
Okay. Master Bai Zhang Hua Hai said, yesterday,you grabbed my nostril and twisted. It really hurts. So Master Ma Zu Daoyi said, okay, so where did you pay attention yesterday? Where's your mind yesterday? And Master Bai Zhang Hua has said, my nostril is not hurting today. Master Ma Zu said, so you came to ask about yesterday.But now you know the difference. Now you know what is today and what is yesterday. What's different between today and yesterday? And then Master Bai Zhang Hua Hai prostrated, did the three prostrations and left. So do you know why Master Bai Zhang Hua Hai had this dialogue with his teacher? Because he tried to seek, in Chan we say ink, because he wants to see, he wants to verify his realization with his teacher. And that's what Master Ma Zu Daoyi did in their dialogue.
那我们来说呢，那个开悟呢，有大悟跟小悟，对不对？好，开悟之后代表就没事了吗？开悟只是代表我们开了个法眼，然后对佛法非常有信心。好，然后马祖道一呢，这时候他应该是知道白丈怀海没有彻底大悟，好，没有彻底大悟。所以呢，有一天呢，我想这个白丈怀海呢再次哦，他因为那时候当侍者嘛，好，当侍者他又再次的。站在马祖道一的旁边，就告诉他说，他去他的疗房，他去他方丈疗。那方丈疗里面有一个什么符纸，就是那个沉符啊，哈，那个有一个符。然后就马祖呢，就看那个符纸哦，然后这个禅师之间哦对话真的很特别哦，他就跟他讲说，百丈怀海就说。即此用，离此用。即呀、啊，就是这个用，也离开这个用，吼、哦，即跟离，吼、哦。你们看到吗？即此用跟离此用。然后马祖道一就告诉他说：“你吼、哦，你向后开两张嘴皮子，只会耍两张嘴皮子，将怎么样教人呐、啊？怎么教你后世弟子啊？”然后那个百丈怀海大师呢，就把这个。符纸啊，那个符尘就拿起来举起来哦，然后马祖就说即此用离此用，就是即此用离此用，这两个句相反。然后百丈怀海大师就把那个符尘那个把它放回原来地方。马祖这时候做什么事情？大吼，在他耳边大吼，狮子吼，做狮子吼，然后 百丈怀海大师就耳聋了三天，这时候他就彻底大悟了。
So even though, yeah, I have this. So even though Master Ma Zu and Master Bai Zheng had that encounter or that verification the other day, his teacher Master Ma Zu Dao Yi knew that it's only a small, shallow realization. It's not a deep realization. And in Buddhism, when we say realization or enlightenment, it only means you open your Dharma eye and you will have more faith in practice. It's not that mysterious, actually. So at the time, his teacher, Master Ma Zu Dao Yi, knows he hasn't, Master Bai Zheng Huaihai hasn't completely enlightened or had the very deep realization yet. So the other day, they had another encounter, another teaching. Master Ma Zu Dao Yi called the master called on Master Ma Zu a second time as he stood by, and Ma Zu looked at the whisker on the corner of the rope seat. Then the Master Ma Zu asked, "Do you identify with the function or detach from the function?" Ma Zu said, "Later on, when you open your lips, what will you use to help people?" Master Ma Zu Dao Yi took the whisker. Master Bai Zheng Huaihai took the whisker and held it up. Ma Zu said, "Do you identify with this function or detach from this function?" Master Bai Zheng Huaihai hung the whisker back where it had been before. Master Ma Zu Dao Yi drew himself up and shouted so loud that Master Bai Zheng Huaihai's ears were deafened for 3 days.
好，那百丈怀海大师大悟之后呢，他就去哪里？他就去了洪州新武界的住在大雄山的百丈山里面哦。这个山势呢非常的险峻哦，所以称为百丈，所以以百丈在这边开创了一个丛林。
So after that encounter with his teacher, he actually had a very deep realization. And once he has this extensive deep realization, Master Bai Zheng Huaihai left his master and went to the mountain Bai Zheng. And the mountain had this name because it's very deep. The cliff is very deep.
那百丈怀海大师的禅法跟机用呢，他延续了洪州宗马祖大一的平常世道的解脱行观哦，还有机用呢，也是用喝打手势等方便做开始，其实是延续他的师父马祖大一的一个禅风哦。
So in Mountain Bai Zheng, he continued his style that he learned from his teacher Ma Zu Dao Yi, and used a very lively way to teach.
那我们来讲马祖百丈怀海大师人，他对中国佛教贡献是什么呢？第一个呢，他是建立了丛林制度；第二个是维系佛教的法脉；第三个是对后世的影响深远哦。那他怎么样建立丛林制度呢？
So we say the contribution that made by Master Bai Zheng is he established the monastic regulations, and helped helped Chinese monks can survive religious persecutions.
马祖道一门下开悟的非常的多，但是对于后代禅宗制度的建立跟建立修行生活的规范，成为汉传佛教最大的特色，是从百丈怀海开始。
So, Master Bai Zheng established this monasticregulations, and it really established the characteristics of Chinese Buddhism.
百丈怀海大师最能体会到中国社会环境跟汉文化的特色。如果他知道在当时如果不积极的把佛教变成本土化、实用化、制度化，以及自给自足、自食其力的农禅化， 佛教想要在中国的大环境中立于永久不败之地是相当困难的。
Because he knows really well at that time, on that social structure, Chinese social structure and Chinese culture, if you don't make yourself, the monastics, self-sufficient, it will be very difficult to develop, to further advocate Buddhism and develop itself, themselves.
在此之前呢，佛教是受朝廷保护的，也是靠信众布施支援的。那百丈怀海制定禅院生活规范时呢的百丈清规是不限于大小圣的戒律，而是从全新的立场确立丛林的规矩，创下禅院的独立的根基，是把印度传来的戒律跟中国社会的礼教做了调和之后所出现的一种形态。
So before Master Bai Zhang Huaihai establishing these new rules, Chinese monasteries were supported by emperors, by the government, or by lay people, disciples. So after that, Master Bai Zhang Huaihai harmonized the precepts received from, transmitted from India, and then together with the Chinese culture and Chinese social structures. Now they can have their own monastery and be self-sufficient.
那百丈清规有哪四个特点呢？不寻律制，别立禅居；第二，塑法堂；第三，施设普请法的出波制度；第四，规章制度，奖惩严明哦。那我们来先简单的介绍一下简单的丛林朴实的丛林生活，从简约的建筑形态，而且革除了雅文绝字的经教研究，不拘泥从印度传来的风俗仪节，不设佛殿，不供佛像，唯构法堂。那僧众们呢，同时住在禅堂上面哈，就是睡觉的地方也是坐禅的地方哦。那方丈室呢，还有一些重要职事呢，是办公跟个别施教的说法的场所，所以是没有个人多余的空间跟多余的物品哦。
So let's take a deep look at how this monastic lifestyle works, the farming monastic lifestyle works. First, it's very simple and very it's very simple, very easy. Well, not easy. First, they abolished the way of studying sutra by paying excessive attention to wording in the past, and then they not necessarily strictly stick to the Indian precepts. Instead, they adopted the main principles of the precepts from India, but adapted it to Chinese culture and the ways that the Chinese feel comfortable with. And they don't have, they don't set up Buddhist statues, do not make offerings to Buddhist statues, Buddha statues. They only have Chan Hall and the Dharma Hall. And in the Chan Hall, they actually live there. The place they sleep is also the place they sit and meditate. And the abbot quarter is the place that people will gather and hear the teachings. So you can see from the settings, there's really no extra space, no extra space for monks. It's very concise. It's very simple.
那第二个是实行那个一日不坐，一日不食的农禅家风，这个很熟悉，对不对？好，我们的师公东出老人创办了什么？创立了农禅寺，也就是依照百丈禅师一日不坐、一日不食的农禅精神而延续的。那在这个地方，它有一个普请制度哦，就是施设普请法，就是一个出波，就是全寺上下大小，不论尊卑年龄，都要随众劳动，就是不论你做什么事情。就是砍柴、种菜、烧瓦、运砖、煮饭等等，都是由僧众自己动手哦，这叫普请。
And also, he established this famous principle that is a word without work is a day without work is a day without food. So basically, everyone has to do the work practice. No one can be left out. So you can either make meals, or work on the field crops in the field, or do other chores. But basically, everyone has to do the work practice. Just like our grandmaster Master Dongchu established the temple of the Nongchen temple is basically the same idea and the same principle that everyone has to do the work practice.
第二个是什么？严禁荤腥跟酒，不准带进去室内里面。然后日中之后不再进食。那寺里面的经济绝对公开，没有私人的财产。如果有多余的钱财，我们可以把它作为社会的慈善救济事业。那如果违反清规者呢？如果重的话呢？集中用先用杖打，然后接着是烧他的衣钵跟道具，再把他从偏门哦，偏门就是不是从正门，从偏门逐出室外。严不严格？严格哦。
And the second is in the temple, absolutely there's no alcohol or meat, and that meat or alcohol is strictly forbidden, and no one will eat after midday, and all the money affairs are strictly open to everyone, and there's no personal properties in the temple. And if there's extra income or there's more they need, they will donate and make philanthropies, will donate and to help others. And if anyone that violates the rules will be punished by different ways. First, they will be beaten by wood stick. And if it gets worse, their robes and belongings will be burned. And if it's getting even worse, whoever violates a rule can be driven out of the door and through the back door.
好，那就有人问说啦，那百丈禅师建立的清规被当事人所指责，为什么不遵守小圣比丘尼，也不遵守大圣菩萨的戒律？他的回答是：无所终非局，大小圣非义大小圣，当薄约折中，慑于自犯，勿起疑也。这个是讲什么？就是像这样子的，不拘泥于大小圣戒律，也不异于大小圣戒律，就是遵守佛陀自戒的基本原则，但是又不会被琐碎的戒律条文所束缚，因地制宜，使佛法能够适应环境，又能使得佛教徒们身口意三业清净哦。那这样子能够适应不同的时空环境，也能够被不同的时空环境接受，能够运用的佛法，能够使得保持僧团生活精进。所以在百丈清规跟禅院清规以及各寺院所定的各种规约，都是在同一个因缘下所产生的。
So when people at the time question Master 百丈怀海 why did they create such rules, regulations, instead of strictly observing Vinayana Buddhism, the precepts from the original Indian Buddhism? Why they don't do that? The answer is because the monastic regulations are not strictly sticking to the excessive rules. Instead, they observe the principles, the spirit and principles of the Buddhism precepts. But at the same time, they also make their body, words, and mind pure by observing their own regulations.
好，这就是禅林制度特色，就是能够适应中国人的社会环境，而又不违背释迦牟尼佛所传的佛教精神，并能够体现佛陀教化世人哦，在现实中 是现实生活的根本精神，使四众弟子都能过着清净和乐、少欲知足的生活。
So this is the features of the Chan monastic regulations, which is adapted to the Chinese society, adapted to Chinese culture, and do not go against Shakyamuni Buddha's precepts or the fundamental principles of the precepts, and also embodies the fundamental teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, and it can also help Buddhist disciples live a pure and equal, compassionate, and a more satisfying life.
好，那这个百丈清规里面呢，它制定了这个禅林清规有四义哦。他说有哪个四种好处呢？不轻重，哈、哦，就是身恭信故，不毁身行，寻佛制度故，不扰公门，审欲讼故，四不懈于外，护中纲故。
So there are four main benefits from this Chan monastic regulations. First, it make it the monastics pure and make others look up to them and do not stain the image of the monastics and will not have a lawsuit. Will be free from any lawsuit or worldly affairs because they are self-sufficient. And also they still uphold the fundamental principles of Shakyamuni Buddha.
好，那我们来看他对中国佛教的第二贡献是什么？维系佛教的法脉，这非常重要。在会昌法难的时候呢，唐武宗在灭佛运动进行的如火如荼的时候呢，也有这个江西的百丈山却没有毫发损伤后，所以因为这个例子呢，所以当时全国的佛教徒们就觉得有共同认知跟警觉，就是必须接受百丈清规来建立丛林制度，佛教才能自保，而且才能够弘传天下，也至于我们今天还有佛法可以听得到佛法。好，这个所以百丈怀海大师的最特殊的贡献在于维系佛教的法脉。
So another great contribution by Master Bai Zhang Huaihai is it helped the Chan school can avoid being religious persecuted or being influenced or being affected by the religious persecution in China at that time. During Emperor Tang Wuzong's religious persecution, the temple set up by Master Bai Zhang Huaihai was not affected at all, and Chinese Buddhists were really surprised by this outcome, and they also realized that if they want to survive to continue to promote the Buddha Dharma, they would have to do the way that Master Bai Zhang Huaihai was doing.
那法难的原因呢，就是简单的说，就是有宗教跟政治的因素，然后以及当时的生理不适生产，即被外界认为寄生于社会的一种不好的印象，而且当时的生理过多而影响了国家的生产力。
And the reason of the reason that triggered the religious persecution during the Emperor Tang Wuzong's time was because there were criticism about how Buddhist temples were run at the time out of political and religious reasons, because there were too many monks. They do not have their own way of living. They entirely rely on other people's offerings. And also the temple, a lot of Buddhist temples were taking up space, taking up lands that can be used for farming by the state. Therefore, all these factors added up to the religious persecution carried out by Emperor Tang Wuzong.
那他对于后世的影响是什么呢？在圣严师父的文字里面，他有谈到说，像这样子的一个 开创性跟适应性的禅宁生活是对未来世界佛教的一种基本的条件。
So what is his legacy, his influence for people nowadays? Master Sheng Yan said, well, basically he sets up an example that for Buddhists to survive and thrive in a modern world, we would have to keep abreast with the progress made by the society.
那第二个呢，就是汉传佛教的特色，就是注重平常的劳动生活，人人必须白天工作。早晚闻法，参禅客诵，就是中国禅者的生活形态。
And also, it basically established the lifestyle for Chan monks, Chan monastics, that they would have to have work practice during the day and then still practice and study Dhamma in the morning and in the evening.
那有些不同地区的僧侣啊，就会专门是依靠信徒的布施来生活。然后只有认为说我有打坐礼拜念经念佛读诵唱诵持咒在并在什么个别枯守三间洞穴里面才算是修行哦。那还有另外一种形态是以神秘的经验跟神意的能力来作为自我成就跟信众炫耀的功夫。站在中国禅宗的立场尤其是百丈家风而言这种修行形态都是不被鼓励的甚至会被斥为是鬼家活计
So from Master 百丈华海's view or perspectives Chan practice is not just limited to the formality, including sitting meditation or chanting sutras or going to solitary retreat in a mountain or cave, or others that will do mysterious practices or mysterious experiences and make their living by advocating those mysterious experiences so people will give them offerings.From Master 百丈华海's point of view, those are should not be encouraged, actually are wrong practices.
然后第三点呢，就是说在农业社会的时候呢，出家人应该过着农制的生活。那到了今日的工商的现代社会，若不是提倡工禅制的丛林生活，也应该以各种方式从事于社会的服务事业。
So, if that was a society mainly focused on farming and agriculture, then we should have this self-sufficient monastic regulation to make self-sufficient. And if the society now, the society is a society of business and industry, and at least monks and Buddhism should try to make a service to the society.
那还有是对于法鼓山所推动的各项活动呢，禅修活动以及各项的教育跟关怀活动，是活用佛法，用佛法来帮助社会大众来安心、安身、安家、安业。这样子的从事各种各项的教育跟关怀活动，来达成净化社会、净化人。新的目的就是自利利人的菩萨行哦，对于未来社会、世界社会是需要的，而且是使佛教具备永远生存和推广的最佳条件。
And now, the Dharma Drum Mountain also emphasizes this tradition passed down by Master 百丈怀海. And our beliefs are that we should make use of Buddha Dharma and serve the society and apply the Buddha Dharma, try to benefit oneself and benefit others at the same time. And only by providing a service to the society, benefit everyone,can Buddhism be able to establish and promote it in the society?
所以呢，百丈大师的清规及农禅制度呢，给我们指出了未来世界的愿景。
So, Master 百丈怀海's Chan monastic regulation really gives us a direction of where we are going in the future.
好，最后呢，我们来简单的说野狐禅的公案这个故事，作为这个今天的结尾哦。就是大家都听过野狐禅这个公案故事嘛，吼，就是说在百丈禅师呢，在住席百丈山的期间呢，他在说法，上堂说法的时候，期间常常有一位禅者，就跟着大众一起进入法堂说法，是老老的，很老很老。然后有一天呢，这位年老的禅者呢，就特地选在大家都离开的时间，他特地留下来请法。他就问了百丈华海大师说，我以前是住在这个山上的修行人，在500世以前哦，可是呢，那时候有修行者来问我说，大修行人落不落因果？他当然回，那时候他的回答是什么？不落因果。然后从这四个字里面，他堕到500世当狐，吼，堕到畜生道里面。结果今天他就遇到了百丈怀海大师，百丈怀海大师跟他说什么？不昧因果，不昧因果就是不违背因果。这位老者哦，听了这四个字“不昧因果”之后就开悟了。开悟之后，他就跟这个百丈怀海禅师说：“我就住在山的那一头，明天请您，来帮我用僧人的葬礼把我给埋了。”好，隔天他就率着众僧哦去后山去把这位这个狐狸哦埋葬了。好，其实那时候他不知道他是狐狸哦，大家都不知道是狐狸，只是看到埋葬的时候看到一只狐狸，这是说有名的野狐禅哦。那野狐禅里面呢，演变到现在，我们说凡是只是空谈公案哦，口托上说无相无我无佛无众生，而不经过切实修行的人，我们佛家啊便称为是什么野狐。好，那如果我们是老实修行的人呢，又执着有大功德，希望赶快成佛做主，又认为说能够转法轮，并有很多无量的众生可以度，然后几度跟将度的人，我们佛家也称为叫做执着汉，就是有两种，一个是野狐禅，一个是执着汉。所以呢，必须要明白正确的认识因果的道理，又不执着我的价值观念，才是佛法的正理所在。
So in the end, we will address the wild fox gong'an as an ending. So whenever Master Bai Zhang would address the community in the Dharma Hall, there were always an old man, very old man, who would always come to hear the talk. So when the community disappeared, he would left as well. One day he didn't leave, so Master Bai Zhang asked, "Who are you?" And then the old man said, "A long, long time ago, I resided on this mountain as abbot. Once a student asked me whether a great practitioner would still fall into cause and effect. I answered, no, a great practitioner does not fall into cause and effect. As a result, I have been living as a wild fox for countless ages. Now I ask you, as your master, to please say a turning phrase for me so that I may be free of this fox body." Then he asked, "Does a great practitioner still fall into cause and effect or not?" Master Bai Zhang said, "A great practitioner does not ignore or go against cause and effect." With these words, the old man had a great awakening. He bowed and said, I've been released from this body. Please come to the backyard of the mountain and perform a Buddhist ritual for me and bury me." So the next day, Master Bai Zhang Huaihai and his disciples went to the backyard of the mountain and found a body of a fox. So that's the gong'an of the wild fox gong'an. So basically, afterwards, people would use this gong'an to refer to one type of practice that they only talk about: no self, no Buddha, and know everything, just by an empty talk about emptiness in words instead of practicing them, have a down-to-earth attitude to practice them. So this type of people, practitioners, would be referred to as, practicing wild fox, like wild fox. And another type of practitioner, they attach to merits too much. That's another example that we should not do. They're not attached to all the merits whether you will have in the future.
好，那我们今天百丈怀海大师的传记呢，还有介绍就到这边，结束后，那希望大家能够认识一下高僧的行医，对于他们化师的精神跟悲乐心有一个深刻的体验。
So that concludes our talk today. So I encourage you to read more stories about those great Asian masters. Thank you.